This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
The end of the year for me is many times feels like what we just did now. It feels like when I think about the end of the year, I think about Christmas songs, jingle bells, because you can't avoid it. You can try to avoid it by not going to the shops, but it's going to find you. It's going to find you somewhere. Someone's going to stand in the street corner with their Father Christmas suit and hand you something. You can't escape the reality of the end of the year in terms of the Christmas decorations. You cannot do that. But the other thing for me through the years is, as we're aging, that is synonymous with the end of the year are moments like this when there is some reward ceremony, some award ceremony, where someone actually says, okay, something well done, accomplished here. This is what you invested yourself in the year. As we study through the years, as we progress from grade to grade, as our kids finish pre-primary school and there's a graduation and they finish grade R and there's graduation and they finish grade one and there's grade, you know, we go through life through moments like this, real moments where it stops and it recognizes that I am not the same person I used to be. And as I experienced in my Air Force years and through the other things that we've done in the all of you, there are always also moments where we stop and recognize that this person has done an extraordinary job, and we just want to honor you for that. Honoring is a kingdom thing. Remember what Jesus taught us. He said, for every single person that you receive as a righteous man or a prophet that you receive for whom he is, for what he represents from God, that person, just the way in which you treat him, even if just because he's a righteous man or a prophet, you give him the smallest thing like a cup of water because of what he's doing, the Lord says that is noted and will be rewarded eternally. Our God is the God who is the reward giver. He's the one at the end of the day that hands over. And as we're thinking of Lauren and Tilman immigrating and leaving, you wonder now, what was really the point? I mean, they spent 8 years here. They served a lot. They built the worship team from 35 people to 110 people in a short span of years. They equipped, they served much. They were small group leaders. They were so many things, facilitated encounters. They went on missions. They did so much. They poured in, but they're leaving. What's the point? You know, I want to say for every single person, the Bible says that they, whatever was done with a noble heart, every single person that were blessed, Paul said that Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation stone. And whoever builds on this with purity and integrity will receive their reward when he returns. Our God is the God who will, when we enter into the place where Jesus receives us one day, when he comes back, when the king returns, there will be a massive banquet, a massive feast. The feast of the bride and the bridegroom will be a massive celebration. And then we will stop and there will be awards. I told my son this morning what I'm preaching because he's next door and on the way to church. Nathan, all 3 minutes in the car. Sometimes you just have to put in those minutes. And I drove up. And I just sort of see, can I tell Nathan in 3 minutes what we're going to say here? And I said to him, Nathan, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a massive party, a big, big party. The Bible says it over and over and over, because the king is returning and is receiving his people and his kingdom for himself. And then what's going to happen then? There will be a massive recognition honor feast where people will be brought forward. And what they did in the name of Jesus, what they did, what is noble and good, and what they did to represent, to declare, or to proclaim the kingdom, will be stopped, and they will receive honors and rewards from God. Status, crowns, righteousness, authority that is theirs eternally. How you think about the future does determine how you do it. I mean, Paul says so. He says, when we run a race, you have to keep your eyes on the end, on the prize, otherwise you will lose focus. I want to ask you right at the beginning of this message, short message, I want to ask you, if you think through this year, let's try to ignore the rest. Some of you cannot remember the beginning of the year. It was just too long ago. Some of you can't believe the year is over yet. When you think through this year, what are the things that you suspect or that you're quite confident of, that Jesus will call you forward on that day and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I saw this. I took note of that. I saw those hours. I saw you did not react or respond in wrath, but you did do meekness. What are the things that the Lord is going to reward you of? What are the things? The other day we had a conversation with one of our friends, and he was talking through the stuff that he does that doesn't work, you know, kingdom stuff that he does that doesn't work. And I just stopped for a moment and I thought, asked him, so what is, how do you think God will respond to that one day? How do you think? How do you think God will reward you for this? Because if the rewards are only temporal here and now, and that's it, then Paul says, we of all people ought to be pitied more than anyone else. If we only live for rewards in this life, if we as Christians only live, if this is it and we're going to get everything we can do it right here in this life and this is all we get, then Paul says, wow, we of all people ought to be pitied more than anyone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, 13, 19, thereabout. We are to be pitied. Because he's saying, no, the reason why we believe and why we hold on to Christ, the reason why we serve him is because there are really real rewards when we come to him one day. Real rewards, real tangible rewards. Now I'm going to say again, if your view of heaven, if your view of Jesus is coming, is we're going to sing in a choir forever? If that is your view, if that is really your imagination, if that is your expectation, if that is your hope, if all we're going to do is sing in a choir forever, have a church service in the sky forever, if that is your view, then rewards doesn't really make sense, does it? Because you will either sit closer in the choir to Jesus or further away in the choir to Jesus, but we will sing. But if in Jesus does come back to build his kingdom and establish his reign here, if he does come back, and if there really is something like real power, real authority, a real recognition, and a real reign, like he says in every one of the texts, then what you do with your life really does make a difference. I suspect the problem is that for so long, we've held on to the one truth and only the one truth, that faith in the complete work of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, atonement on my behalf, is complete. That means there's nothing I can add to it. I have received the gift of righteousness. I am before him in confidence. If that is the only thing we hold on to, and nothing else, then what I do on this earth really doesn't make a difference because my sins are forgiven and I have the gift of eternal life. But if what I do with my life matters and will receive rewards, real authority, real power, real prestige, if what I do with, if like Shannon Rozelle, who said, we're going to sow into God's people here, there is zero reward apart from the friendships, zero reward for us apart from the friendships. But if we sow into this because we know that I'm not going to ask a payment now, I'll collect it when the king returns for his people, then it makes a difference. What you do with your life doesn't matter. So, Matthew, Peter I love Peter in the Bible for many reasons, because I have friends like him. They talk and then they ask, should I ask something? Peter's like that. He always does it this way. So Peter, as Jesus walks in the boat and he says, I want to try it. And then he sinks, but at least he tries it. So one of those moments, Jesus is teaching on eternal life and his eternal kingdom. Now I'm going to say this again. When Jesus teaches about eternal life and his eternal kingdom, the guys that were around him, and for the generations after that, the 60 years that we have the New Testament canon of, those 60 years until John wrote his last epistle in Revelation, those people had an expectation that Jesus is coming back to reign on earth, not just to swoop us away to the clouds. So it does make a difference what you think of. But anyway, so they're walking with Jesus and they left their shipping or their fishing business. They left everything they had, and they walked with Jesus. And at some point, talking about eternity, Peter's thinking, he's saying to Jesus, Jesus, so just want to ask a question. I left everything for you. We left everything for you. Everything. I mean, I had my own shipping business, my fishing business. I had my own I&J fishing business. I left my trawlers and everything right there in the middle sea. I left everything for you. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? I believe that you're Messiah, but I left everything. What's in it for me? And then Jesus doesn't do the, that should be sufficient. You will reserve eternal life with me. That is sufficient. I am your Lord and Master. It's sufficient. You're going to get nothing except what everyone else gets, eternal life, who believes in me. But that's not his answer. His answer is, you're going to reign with me, man. It says there, reign, so you'll sit on the 12 tribes, ruling over the 12 tribes. You'll rule over your own countrymen. You will be the top of the Sanhedrin in this nation. That was his answer for them. You'll be the top of the Sanhedrin in this nation. You're going to rule. You're going to have authority, prestige, positions of real power, real influence, real recognition, real honor. Great, tremendous honor. That's what you will have. It's a position with real rewards. You will have that, he says to them. You won't have nothing. You will actually reign and rule with me, which is what every single one of the New Testament letters after this says. Because this is where they get the idea from, that we will really reign on earth with him forever. And that's what he says to them. You'll be the boss. You'll be the top. You're going to receive power and influence. That's in it for you. You left a small fishing boat business. I tell you what, it was the best investment of your time that you could have done. This 3.5 years and your death later, Peter, will be the best investment of your time. It's worth it. It's really worth it. But then Jesus doesn't stop there. He says you will reign. You will receive power. You'll receive prestige because of your sacrifice. But then he says something else. He says, I want you to know this, that not only that will you receive, but you'll receive, if you've lost lands or business or anything, you'll receive, and then he uses a hyperbole, which I'm trying to figure out, is this real or is this a hyperbole? You'll receive 100 times whatever you sacrificed for when the king returns. That is really motivating. I want to ask you, what have you given up in all your life for Christ's sake? What was the thing or the things, the relationships or the people, what have you sacrificed for Christ's sake? Because I'm going to tell you, it's worth it. Jesus says 100 times. What hours did you not spend on yourself, but rather on someone else? What money did you not spend on yourself, but rather on someone else for God's sake? What time when the church sent out a mission trip and you went like, this is my down payment for something, or this is my pair of shoes for Jesus' mission. And Jesus says, you will have your shoe collection when I come back. You will have this. Some girls are just getting really, really excited right now. Real, guys. Real rewards. What is your imagination when Jesus comes back? Because there are real rewards. This is not a fuzzy thing. I want you to think about every single thing that you've ever sacrificed for Jesus. Now I want to flip it to the other side. I think sometimes we don't see the point of sacrificing. Because if all I'm going to get is to spend time in eternity with Jesus, whether I give this or not, what's the difference? I'm going to buy myself a pair of shoes. Because what's the point? We're going to spend time with Jesus barefoot, probably dancing. But if Jesus really comes back and he really reigns and he's going to give positions and lands and things to people as the king can, then we will have his reward. You will have your reward. I want to encourage you this year, every single thing that you've sacrificed. You know, Matthew, you could go through the book of Matthew and just read about his reward when the king returns, and it's in itself sufficient. His Sermon on the Mount is so powerful in this regard, so powerful. Because his Sermon on the Mount, at one point, he says, guys, whenever you've received mockings or beatings or being ostracized, pushed aside, because of your faith and you're holding on to me. He's saying, anyway, you did not back away from declaring my righteousness and being honest. Every single time where people mocked you and rez, because you didn't drink with them or sleep around with them every single time, where you didn't go with the flow, but you were mocked and ostracized every single time you had to say no to all those buddies, every single time that you did not do what everyone else is doing because of your conviction that Jesus really is Lord and that what you do with your life really matters. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, he says, there will be great rewards when the king comes back. Great rewards, not rewards, great rewards. And that verse, that verb, that word, phrase, great rewards are repeated straight throughout the book of Matthew. He says, so every time that you fasted, not to get attention, but simply because there was a concern on your heart to devote yourself to God for someone's sake, the Lord says, you will have your reward. When you didn't do it for show, Jesus says, the Father sees it and he comes back. He will reward you openly. He says the same about prayer. He says the same about fasting. He says the same about everything else. He notices, he sees. I just mentioned earlier too, he says when the king returns, every single time when someone comes and someone honors another man, I did mention that, because of what you're doing for God's sake, simple gift of honoring you for what you're doing. For the point is for whom you represent, not just for who you are. When there's honor for that, saying, I recognize you as coming from God, the Lord says you will have your reward when the king comes back because you received my emissary, my witness. You received him in my name. What's the teachings of Jesus on this? We know about the minas, about the talents, depending on which gospels you read, and some other ones, Matthew chapter 25, the same thing. If you give a cup of water to a poor man, go and visit someone in prison or care for a sick person. The Lord says, whenever you do these things, which is when you consider the least of these, and you embrace the kingdom mindset in this hostile world, which there's no reward for in this world, that's his point. Jesus says, I notice. I'm coming back, and when my kingdom is established, you will have your reward. We had a conversation with friends of ours on Friday night, and man, their boy is amazing. Oldest boy, we love him. Some of you know Maynard. I'm not going to go more into this. But this boy is amazing. So he works hard in school, primary school. So he works hard. Some of you know those people. Some of you were those people. Some of you are those people. He's not the brightest in his class in terms of academic. He works, he gives his best, but he never ever gets a reward or a certificate or a balki or an applause at school because he's not on the top. He gives his best, but he does not receive the applause. In sports, he does his thing, but he doesn't have the genes. He's not athletically built like his younger brother who just boosts and he gets everything he can. He's not like that. So he never gets his reward. He's not the best in culture and stuff like that. He doesn't sing or dance or do stuff like that. He gives his best, but he never gets recognition. I'm telling you, Maynard's heart is the most noble, compassionate person that I know. He's fasting for a friend. He's in primary school, hey? He says, no, thanks, Mom, I'm not eating today. Why not? He says, no, my one friend in class, I asked her, and his heart is burning because she's got eczema on her skin, and she's got a skin condition. And he's fasting, he's abstaining from food or anything because he's trusting Jesus to heal this girl. He's trusting Jesus to heal this girl. He doesn't get anything from it. Now, the school is not going to call Maynard forward saying, Maynard, we noticed that you care about the people around you. Can everyone just stand up and just give Maynard applause? Maynard, we see that every time that you do something, you do your best. Whatever you do passionately to the king. Can everyone just stand up and applause Maynard for giving his best? Because no one knows what's happening in Maynard's heart. No one knows Maynard's limitations, and no one knows Maynard's effort that he puts in. But when the king comes back, we're going to sit like this. Massive feast. And the feast will be interrupted, and King Jesus will stand up and say, Maynard, can you please come forward? And everyone will stand up and start applauding because what he has done in secret will be known in public. And he will stand up in front and the Lord will say, well done, my faithful servant. I saw your compassion. I saw your faithfulness. I saw your devotion. I saw you being mocked in every single sphere where you were, because you stood up for me and you didn't want to play the vile jokes that everyone else was doing. And I saw you were faithful to me. Here's your reward. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In this world, there are only a few things that get recognized and applauded. Only a few things. But when the king comes back, what is done in secret and the motives of the heart will be known. And we'll go, I so wish we had time to go through all the text. I'm not going to go into the text. So you saw here, you receive eternal life. That is for everyone that received Christ. But for every single sacrifice, every single effort done in the name of the Lord, there will be a real reward when the king comes back. Similar to what we just did here. Just a little bit more pizzazz. Much more pizzazz. If I know King Jesus, who makes a sunset like he does, I think it's going to be an amazing show. Paul writes, he says, yes, we're of good courage. So we're not going to read the whole 2 Corinthians to give you context. He's talking about his role as an apostle and the efforts and the sacrifice and the stonings and the beatings and the stuff that he goes through. And at some point in this letter, he says, and these light afflictions does not compare to the glory that we receive when Jesus comes back. You go, what light afflictions? What light afflictions? This is serious stuff. But he's comparing it to the reality that King Jesus is really coming back. Then this doesn't really matter, does it? Yes, we're of good courage, he says, and we would rather be away from the body. He says this like he does in Philippians, which he wrote 15 years later. He's saying, I would love to be with my Lord now. I mean, and for him, the motivation is never pain. My life philosophy is no pain, no pain. It's very pleasant to live with it. It's not a biblical philosophy. But when Paul says, I'd rather be with the Lord, he doesn't mean to not suffer, because you can see it every single one of his instances in life. He does not shy away from conflict, confrontation, or suffering. He doesn't shy away from it. There's no point for him to, because he really believes that the witness under these circumstances will have a real reward, as every one of the Old Testament and New Testament books confirm. That was his conviction, this professor in theology. So he says, so whether we are at home here in the body or away, doesn't really matter. Whatever I do to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is his due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Just to pause there for a second, and I must just put down this theological thing in your head. So we read about judgment day and the king returning to judge the living and the dead. And that's where we get confused, because do we get credits to make it into heaven by all the good things that we do? Then what does Christianity differ from every other religion in the world? You know, where is grace if I have to earn my way into heaven? So there are two judgment seats that the Bible speaks in the New Testament. They say it's a good teaching. It's a little bit more than that, but just simple to this. In Revelation chapter 22, we read about the white throne judgment. How many of you have heard about the white throne judgment? Now, the white throne judgment, the seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, the white throne judgment is an invitation where every person will stand before Christ, whether they have submitted to his lordship or not. Have you received my gift of eternal life through faith, or do you want to try it on your own? That simple one. Do you want to gun with it without me or not? But for those of us, and that's what Romans says so beautiful, that are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, there is no condemnation. Just a few verses later in this chapter, he speaks about the divine exchange. Verse 18, verse 21. For God made Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus became man to identify with us in our fallenness, in our sin, sickness, and suffering, embodied in himself on the cross, bore the wrath of God and the consequence of sin, so that those of us who believe in him, believe that he, in his sufficiency, that his sacrifice was sufficient, believe that God has really did say, it is done, atonement is made. For those of us who have faith in him, we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Divine transference. Christ becomes sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. And it's essential that we know this. Knowing that we will all stand before the throne of God. But for us as believers, The judgment is not, will you make it into heaven? The white throne judgment determines, where will I spend eternity? The judgment seat of Christ determines, how will you spend eternity? Friends, I want to ask you, how will you spend eternity? How will you spend eternity? There's this piece, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Yeah, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul came to the Corinthians. Beautiful text. He speaks about us and our life and this judgment seat of Christ. He's spoken most of his letters actually sufficiently about it. He says that there are people with different vocations, works, callings, responsibilities that the Lord called them to do. He who plants will one and he who labors is one. He's spoken about ministry in his context, but it's the same for us. He's saying that you will receive your reward for the effort that you've made, your obedience to Christ, your service to him. You will receive your reward, definitely. You're going to stand before God and you'll receive your reward. And then he says, if the work that anyone has built on Christ's foundation survives, that man will receive a reward. Because when Jesus comes back, there will be a testing of all your works, of everything that you've done, everything that you've done on Christ. And then he says, if anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but barely as through fire. He's speaking about the wrath, disappointment, disapproval. So he doesn't say this person will be lost because your works wasn't sufficient for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. He's saying you will enter into eternity, into the King's realm, naked as yourself. Welcome home, my boy. But for the one, like Paul says, who's gunning it with all his life, to give everything for Christ's sake, for one who does not live for himself, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he who does not live for himself anymore but for Christ, that one will receive honor. Because with your life, you honor me. With your life, you honor me. And I'm excited that Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church, and the reason is he had to. Because in the Corinthian church, like in our day, there were people, and you can see from the letters in Corinth, who received the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, their salvation, but then continued to live their life for themselves. They continued to live their life for themselves. They decided, well, I am saved, and you'll see that he expounds on it greatly. I'm saved. I've received Jesus as my Lord. How amazing is this? Wow. Now I can get on with my life. Jesus, I want a new car. I want a new donkey, Paul's days. I want a new second wife, third wife, Paul's days joke. You know, I want these things. God, will you give me my stuff so I can get on with my life? And Paul is saying, that man has received everything that he wanted. He can have his reward. He's having his reward now. You can have it all now. Or do you want to devote your life to serve him where he's placed you? So that one day when he comes back and you say, see, Lord, you've given me this talent. This is what you've entrusted to me. Lord, I use this to multiply your kingdom. Years back, 10 talents. And the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You were faithful what I've given to you. Now rule over 10 cities with me. Receive your authority. Receive your reign. Receive your reward. You have proven yourself to be an exemplary servant of the King. I want to ask you to think back of your year and think of every single thing that you did that God may be glorified. Think of every single thing. Paul says to the Corinthians and to the Colossians and Ephesians, he says, whatever you do, do it passionately as to the Lord. Whether you're a slave or a free man, doesn't matter where you are. What you do, if you do it to the King with all your heart passionately, you will receive your reward. I want to encourage you that King Jesus really saw every single thing that you did passionately for him. I'm not just saying that you preached the gospel to people. I'm not just saying, I am including the stuff that you've done for the poor and the least of these. You will have your reward. But every single thing that you did in your workplace with integrity and justice to honor God, knowing that the Lord asked you to work at Checkers or work wherever you are, you will have your reward from King Jesus. It's going to be real rewards. It's going to be powerful rewards. There will be stuff that you receive from the Lord, every single thing. In Hebrews chapter 10, the last one, Maybe just a concise summary of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So that's why I took this two verses, because it's just, it's short and it's easy to remember. He's writing to a church being seriously persecuted. Early Nero's persecution in the book in Rome, most of my history just locks it down there. 60 after Christ, 62, 60 after Christ. So he's writing to them, this author of Hebrews, and he says to them, you can bank on it, on the reality that you will see the Lord, your rewarder, the judge, on judgment day. The book, the chapters on judgment. And he's saying, therefore, because you know that you'll be received by faith, not by your efforts, therefore, don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your reward. Don't cast away your expectation that what you do in this life really does matter. He's saying, don't let go of it, because the temptation for these guys would be to stop associating with the church and just hide away in my house. And you'll know the verse says a few. He says, later in the chapter, he says, early in the chapter, verse 25, he says, don't neglect the coming together of the saints. And then you can quote Lord Farquhar there. Some of you will die because of your association with the church, but it's a sacrifice that is worth it. You know, it's like bluntly, it's really cross to say it like that, but it's really worth it. He's saying, your public association with me is worth it. I'm coming back. Death is temporal. Death is real. It's painful. So therefore, your reward will be worth it, he says. He says, don't cast away your confidence. Don't hide away the fact that you're a witness of me. Don't stop. Don't do that. Don't just hold on to the faith that one day you'll make it to heaven when I come back. He says, no, don't cast away your confidence. It has great rewards. There are real rewards for every single thing that you do under duress for Christ's sake. There are real rewards. The Lord sees it and he will reward you. And then he says, for you have need of endurance. Now, endurance to do what? Endurance to do the will of God where you are. I don't know, some of you, but for me, eating a pack of chips or T-bone steak, I don't need endurance to do the stuff that I really like doing. It's definitely not. It's easy for me to do the easy stuff. It's hard for me to do the hard stuff. The author of Hebrews says, like every other letter of Paul, he says, doing the will of God and serving God, there will be moments in your life that it's really, really difficult. And he says, do it. Push through. Have endurance. Stay the course. Suck it up. It's worth it. Whatever you do that is hard for God is worth it. I want to say to the single friends still in church here today, not many, I want to say to you that to stay faithful and worship Jesus being alone is worth it. It's worth it. Life on earth is short. Jesus comes back, and there are real rewards for faithfulness and for purity. There are real rewards. Men, women, difficult marriages, I want to say to you that to stay faithful to Christ in difficulty is worth it. Those small things that no one sees, the Lord sees, it's worth it. The King is faithful. You will have your reward. Even if you've been praying to God, for those of you struggling with your businesses and you know there are easier ways to make money, you know it because you're bright. I'm going to say, stay the course. Run the race with endurance. It's worth it. Some of you have a commission from God, a specific thing that you know God called you to do, the will of the Lord. You know when I say, what's the will of God for your life? You know this is the road. And at times that will be really, really difficult. At times it will be really, really hard to do this. I want to say to you, have endurance, stay the course, because the reward is worth it. King Jesus is coming back, and he will reward you for faithfulness, everything that you've done for the Lord, because the Lord is the King who's coming back to establish his kingdom. And every bit of pioneering, every bit of witnessing that you do in this life is worth it. I want to challenge all of us in this comfort-driven world of ours. It's always been like this. It's not new. It's just much easier to be comfort-driven today. I want to challenge you. If you find yourself always opting for the easy road, I want to say there's no rewards for easy life. Are you loved by God? You're loved by God. Are you admired by God? You're admired by God. Do you matter to God? You matter to God. Will you be received into his kingdom? You will be received into his kingdom with open arms and songs of celebration. You're going to sit at the table. There are no rewards for the easy life. There are no rewards for the selfish life. Everything devoted to King Jesus is worth it. The will of God is not so difficult in the Bible context. It's do whatever the Lord commands you to do, and when you don't know, just serve him, love God, love people where you are. That in itself is really, really difficult. That in itself will be the greatest reward that you will get when King Jesus comes back. I'm going to close again with the last slide there. I want to again just reiterate a Maynard story to you. I want to ask you what you hear. Here's a boy like me and you. We don't always get the recognition that everyone else does. Some of us, the Bible says, you saw that scripture earlier. Some of us, like this morning, me with the microphone, do get recognition for something. But Jesus says, when I come back, many who are first, the leaders, will be last. And many who are last will be first. We sometimes quoted by saying, all who are first will be last, and all who are last will be first. It's not right. Depending on your faithfulness to God and his character and his call in your life, the Lord says, I will reward you. I know Maynard will receive his reward from King Jesus because no one saw the hours. This last week again, came home really in tears, in a sense, later the evening, talking to mom and dad. Deep conversations, deep emotional boy. And he says he didn't understand this. He was asked just to take a note to another teacher in another class. He gets there. He looked in the teacher's eyes, and all the way back, he became saddened and saddened and saddened so that he started crying. And he doesn't know why. And in the conversation, good coaching conversation with mom and dad there, he said to Danelle, it's just, he felt the tani, Jefro's pain. He felt the pain, compassion. And he started praying about it because he doesn't know what it is and he doesn't know what to deal with it. So his mom just coached him, prayed, got a word of knowledge and said, this is the situation. Let's pray about this. Simple thing. No one will see those tears except King Jesus. No one will feel the pain except King Jesus. I can guarantee you he will not receive a reward in mom and at school for that thing which no one saw when everyone else gets their rewards. But when the king comes back, you say, compassion, love, prayer. You sowed in private. I will honor you in public. Receive my reward. I'm not even going to suggest this lightly. I know there are things that you do as believers that no one sees and no one knows. There are tears that you cry when no one sees, no one knows. There are sacrifices that you make that no one sees and no one knows about it. And at times it feels frustrated, like my friend that I spoke to the other day that said, well, I'm doing all the right stuff, but it doesn't work. And my only consolation for him was this one thing. I know the Lord sees, and when he comes back, you will have your reward. You will have your reward. And your reward is tangible authority, power, recognition. Because everyone who believes in Christ receives the gift of eternal life and salvation through faith. But for everything that you do to honor Christ where you are, the Lord sees and the Lord rewards. Father, we thank you that you are the rewarder. You said, Lord, in so many books, the same thing, that when the Son of Man returns with his angels and his hosts of glory, he will bear with him the rewards for those who diligently and faithfully served him. Thank you, King Jesus, that tonight, that today even, God, you see, you have a record, God, of things that were done, sacrifices done, things given, things served, things abstained from, where no one saw, God, difficulties that we don't even know, God. You know about the person sitting, God, here in church today, God, who's been suffering from mental illness, God, all of his or her life. And no one knows about it. No one knows what's happening through this, but he keeps on believing that you are the rewarder, God. I thank you that you see, God. I thank you that, like John Eldridge says, God, one day the story will be told rightly when the king comes back and the backstory will be known to everyone else. God, we're looking forward to this. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that as we're approaching the end of the year, as we reflect through our own year, God, we'll also fix our eyes on the next. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will make your rewards. And the fact that you're a rewarder and a celebrator, God, I pray in Jesus' name that through your Spirit, God, those rewards, God, and those promises, God, will be like bright lights shining in the future, God, encouraging us to live a life bigger than ourselves, bigger than our own comfort, in establishing your kingdom and witnessing your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.